It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome to the VolQuest podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, and Austin Price. Presented, as always, by our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions, local and trusted since 1999. If you have need for roofing, siding, windows, a garage, you can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. That phone number, a free estimate if you dial 865-524-5888 or visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. All right, so Tennessee football season has come to an end. 42-17 loss at Ohio State in the first round of the college football playoffs. Tennessee finishes year four of Josh Heupel's tenure with a 10-3 overall record. Wins over two of the big three in Florida and Alabama. Getting to the college football playoff and not advancing past the first round. Obviously, Austin, we'll start with you. The outcome was not great. The way it happened was obviously not great. Tennessee was never in the game. It was lopsided from the get-go, down 21-0 in the first quarter. We kind of talked about it post-game, right? It's bigger picture stuff, you know, good year, but the way this ended, really just a sour taste in your mouth, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. If you lose that game 30-27 or 20-14 or heck, even 30-20, I don't think people are feeling the way they're feeling. Because, I mean, Ohio State is maybe the best team in the country. But they put the most money into it this past offseason. And, you know, players like Caleb Downs and, you know, all the Jeremiah Smith are fantastic. But it's how they lost. It's the fact they were down 21-0 with, you know, just over halfway through the first quarter. And could have easily been down 28-0 had Will Brooks not got a toe down in the end zone. I mean, like, you know, things were spiraling hard. They kind of battled back a little bit there in the second quarter. But then, again, in the second half, you know, they had no answer. And, it was just pure domination from Ohio State. And I said this after the game, Dylan Sampson, whether he played or not, I don't think it mattered. You couldn't stop him, and you really couldn't get open when you were, you know, trying to throw the ball down the field and couldn't protect Nico. So, Tennessee's going to have to figure out some things in the offseason. Going to have to do some deep reflection. Good season. They accomplished what many, you know, expected the expectations to be when the season started, which was to make the CFP. But to take the next step, I do think that they're going to have to evaluate some things and make some kind of changes, whether it's roster or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to kind of what some of those changes could be as we move on to the offseason. Brent, go ahead. I know you're about to chime in there.
Well, I mean, I think that this is an interesting point, and I thought Rob made some good points in the 3-2-1 that was on Monday. And there's this, you know, there's this line of what was a good season versus what's the level of disappointment, and then where's the next step? And I think that's what Josh Heupel and his program, Rob, have to look at and have to determine is where is it? Like, it's not as bad, right? It's not as bad as it seems probably right now, but clearly there's some things that have to get addressed and have to look at, and it starts in the line of scrimmage for Tennessee. And why were they not any more effective in the line of scrimmage than they were in this game? And I think for me, the more you look at it and watch the game, I think it starts there, Rob. I don't know where you're at with it, but for me, that's kind of where it starts, and you build out from there.
Well, I mean, that was the biggest surprise to me. It was the line of scrimmage. I mean, you saw, I thought, a talent discrepancy in a lot of places, but I was surprised at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I thought Tennessee would have a really hard time running the football, but I thought Ohio State would have their hands full with Tennessee's defensive line, and they did not. I mean, that was the biggest eye-opener for me. And Tennessee got out-athleted in a way that, I mean, they didn't against Georgia or Alabama. I mean, that was eye-opener to me. I mean, probably my biggest takeaway coming out of that game is how'd they lose two games. I mean, I kind of get where the Ohio State fans' frustration is after the Michigan game, because, I mean, I think Tennessee had a great year, but it was just eye-opening, the difference in the line of scrimmage, especially. And because they were so much better in the line of scrimmage, that allowed them to, you know, use their skill to take advantage of it. And their skill was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, when a team plays like that, you know, you're not going to lose a game. I know they lost a close one to Oregon, played really well, didn't play as well on defense, but obviously Oregon's got something to say about that. But yeah, I mean, I think we walked out of that stadium the other night saying if Ohio State plays like that, I mean, they might win the whole thing. You look at this football game, and Rob, you mentioned, you know, Tennessee at the line of scrimmage, and that was my biggest takeaway as well. I mean, yeah, Dylan Sampson didn't play, and you know, the early holes and all that, but both sides of the line of scrimmage, Tennessee just got whipped, and it kind of starts from there. The defense, it's been so good all season long outside of the game in Athens, Georgia. I thought Chip Kelly obviously had a really good plan motioning, you know, trying to get running backs matched up on linebackers and wheel routes, and the tight ends got lost. They were running a lot of mesh underneath, and Tennessee couldn't keep up in man coverage. Tennessee was slow in zone. I mean, whatever Tennessee kind of threw at them, and Tennessee just had no answer. And again, it was, you had that third down sack to begin the game, Brent, and it was a face mask, inadvertent, but it was a face mask. And then from there, a couple of explosive plays, and then Ohio State's in the end zone, and it was kind of just all downhill from there until Will Brooks' interception when they were in the red zone there, I think at the 19 or 18-yard line. Tennessee didn't have a stop in this football game, and outside of that series and a three-and-out series and then the prayer field goal at the end of the half, until the backup quarterbacks came into the game, Ohio State scored touchdowns. Tennessee's defense just didn't have an answer, and that, of course, was a surprise in this football game as well.
Well, and I think that's, you know, again, when you start talking about big picture, Austin, and you start looking around, and I know wherever, I know where fans are right now, and I get it, okay? I totally understand. I have every right to be angry, every right to be disappointed, frustrated, you know, all those types of things. But I think you got to, take it in kind of steps, if you will. I mean, all is not lost. You're so much better than you have been. But what you learn is you're still not there. You still got to take another step to get to that point. And again, if Ohio State plays like that, I think they've got a chance to win it all. But you've got to be better in those moments, and you've got to play. You've got to play better in those moments. But you've got to do a self scout. I mean, this is like, okay, how do we take the next step on the ladder, right? And it's kind of like your golf game, right? So it's easy to break 100. For some, not me necessarily, but it's easy to break 100, and it becomes, you know, if you play enough, then you can break 90. But when you start to try to get down and break par, it gets really, really hard. And when you're trying to get to this final step, that's the hardest step to take. And I think that's what Tennessee has to look at, is what do we have to do to take that step? I don't think you got to completely tear your swing down and make it all better and change everything, but what are the little things you got to do to take the next step? You liked that one, didn't you?
Golf clap for the golf analogy. I mean, and honestly, it's a good analogy. I mean, you know, I mean, Tennessee's come a long way, but to take the ultimate step, they've got to do some things differently. And, you know, that's where they have to have a good self-scout. Look at a year ago. What was I complaining about coming out of the Iowa game? They don't rotate anybody. You had guys standing on the sidelines, you know, in a game that was a blowout, when they, you know, you send them off to the offseason feeling good about themselves, and you're playing these fifth-year seniors out there, you know, till the end. It made no sense. Well, what did they do all year? They rotated more than they probably even should. They rotated a ton this year. So they made an adjustment. What adjustments do they make this offseason? I think one of them has to be your younger players. Okay, let's say they know 80% of the offense or 80% of the defense. They've got to play, and you can't worry about that 20. Because if they're good enough and if they're better players, that 80 is going to outweigh the 20. And so I think, you know, there's some changes that have to be figured out. You're right. The line of scrimmage is something that, you know, was a struggle. The offensive line, you know, I mean, I get they ran for a million yards, but like protection wise, they certainly struggled a good portion of the year. Lance Hurd, not nearly what he was billed to be. John Campbell, he struggled mightily at times, you know. So I mean, they've got to figure some things out across the board. Wide receivers, you know, why did Mike Matthews not play all year long? I'm not saying he's Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams, but I mean,
he shouldn't have to be to get on the field with that court.
Yeah, correct. I mean, like, you're telling me he couldn't be on the field at times,
especially with where Tennessee was at receiver this year, and then with the injuries on top of that. I mean,
again, like, do they get hung up on, well, you know, he missed an assignment here or missed an assignment there? That's going to happen. Like, you don't think Jeremiah Smith misses assignments? You don't think he runs the wrong route occasionally? You don't think Ryan Williams runs the wrong route occasionally? That stuff happens. I mean, the other night, Ohio State had a total bust, and Will Howard used the bust as a lead blocker and ran for a first down. I mean, like, those things happen in the course of a football game. So, you know, I think they've got to do a deep dive self-scout. Like, I'm with Hubs, you know, it's never as bad as it seems, and it's never as good as it seems. And you know, so right now it's never as bad as it seems right now. And so they've got to figure some things out, make some adjustments heading into the offseason and go from there.
Well, and I think part of this is not just about personnel for me, Rob. I mean, I think it's – you got to look at how are teams defending you now. Because, hey, explosives were down in 23, and we all said it was Joe Milton's fault. Okay? I did. I was at the top of the – well, Joe Milton, it's, you know, it's not good enough, and Joe's the problem, and – this, that, and the other. He's not seeing the field. He's not reading this. And so, okay, here comes Nico, right? And all of a sudden now we're going back. Now, maybe you're not 22, but you're going to be back and you're going to be dynamic and you're going
to – I was wrong on that. I'm with you. I was.
Well, and I don't know that it's necessarily Nico's fault or that it was Joe's fault. I think it's the way defenses are playing Tennessee.
And wideouts.
Yeah, and I think defenses are, in addition to the wideout struggles, I think defenses are also saying, you know what? We're okay if you run the football. We're all right with that. Let's see if you're patient enough to run it 16 plays for a 16-play touchdown drive. We're not going to give you a 3-play drive. We're not going to give you the 5-play, 40-second, throw it over our head deal. We're going to keep the ball in front of us, let you kind of go 20 to 20, and then we'll see if we can get some stops that way and not give up the big splash plays. And, you know, I think that Tennessee has to look at how what's the answer to that? What's the counterpunch to that if teams are doing that? I think part of it is improving your skill set, guys. But schematically, what's the answer to some of that stuff? Because I don't know that Tennessee played a bunch of heavy boxes down the stretch of the season. Georgia didn't. I don't say Georgia loaded the box. I don't think Ohio State loaded the box. I think they said, you're not going to throw it over our head. You know, and we're content if it takes you 16 plays to drive the length of the field. We're not going to let you get going with the big splash play stuff. And Tennessee, I think Tennessee has to look at that, Rob, and that's something that's a part of this offseason eval and self-scout and study that Josh Heupel and the offensive staff have to do.
Yeah, Hubbard, I thought you had some really good stuff in that regard in your 10 things on Sunday. And I don't dispute that, but man, I do in my own self-scout, my biggest miss on this whole team was the receivers.
Mine too. Agreed, 100%.
I do think they have some good, you know, I think Brew McCoy is probably going to play in the NFL. I'd say Dante Thornton will be on a practice squad at least, but they don't have stars at receiver. I thought they had guys that would be difference makers, and they don't. But, I mean, you're right when you look at, I mean, when's the last time you saw guys just running wide open through the secondary, which happened routinely? You'd see, you know, they a motion here, and all of a sudden, boom, Jalen Hyatt, there's nobody around him. And that didn't happen at all this year. I mean, was there any – and I don't know, you know, I'm not inside there, Brent, but your numbers about the lack of explosives, the difference, I mean, that's dramatic. That's real. And that's – I mean, you know, I think some of that's personnel, but – you know, not all of it. I mean, that's pretty. When you see it on paper, Hubbard, what was the big one? What the explosives? I mean,
they had in the last 2 years, they've had 32 plays against Power Four teams. They've had 32 plays of 30 yards or more. In year one, Josh Heupel had 32 plays of 30 yards or more against Power Five teams,
and that's big time.
I mean, you know, and so again, I mean, is it? And this is why Josh Heupel's making a lot of money. Okay, this is what you're doing. I mean, you've got to figure it out. I mean, everybody wants to say, well, they lost Alex Golish. Okay, well, what's the Golish factor? That's Josh Heupel's decision to have to look at. Is it schematics? Is it personnel? Is it play calling? Is it setting up play calls?
Is it having a heavy on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah. Is it having a heavy that you're playing at a different level or a different standard? Are you setting it up the way you need to? Do you need to motion more? I mean, all of those things. What you know in football is if you have an advantage, Eric, everybody's chasing that advantage. They're finding an answer to that advantage. Okay. What is that answer? Okay, I think we saw more teams have some answers to Tennessee's offensive scheme this year than we saw in the first 2 years under Josh Heupel. So what's Josh Heupel's counterpunch to that? And that's where the elite coaches are really good. And listen, I'll use Nick Saban as the example here because he's, you know, the most successful we've seen at the college deal. But he always sub-packaged everybody, right? I mean, it was third down, we're going to bring in seven more people because we're going to play it strictly based off down and distance. And then they went tempo, and then he found an answer to how to manage tempo. He didn't manage it as well. He gave up some things. He also changed and said, you know what, we got to score more. We're not going to play 13-10 games because offenses have the advantage. So what am I going to do? Offensively, we're going to play different football than I'm comfortable with. Josh Heupel adapted this year because he leaned on his defense. But now what's the next counter moving forward for this program? I think that's the question.
And Nick Saban brought in elite assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely did.
I mean, I'm not saying – I mean, I don't know that Josh could hire – I don't know somebody that, you know, that just got fired as a Power 5, you know, coach like Steve Sarkisian would want to work and would want to work for Josh Heupel. But, I mean, Nick Saban got to a level where, you know, he didn't – ego. He didn't.
Everybody wanted to go to rehab,
and he didn't care about managing egos. I mean, he was the biggest ego in the room, and you know nobody was close.
Yeah, you know, during that self scout, and in terms of your offense, your defense, your how you go about open dates and all that. We kind of talk about this on the Rocky Top Rewind. I think in game adjustments is something they got to look at as well. I mean, you all have a game plan. You all have some wrinkles and some things that you want to do from week to week to week. But talking about that counterpunch, when it's getting stopped, you know, what's your audible? What's your plan B? What's your plan C? Do you mix things in and out? Do you completely leave one concept and go to a different concept? Again, I'm not a football coach, and I'm not pretending to be, and there's a lot of people that know more about the schematics and everything than I do, but it just felt like so many times, you know, this year and some parts of last year as well, when things weren't working specifically on defense – and offense for that matter, it's like they weren't mixing it up enough. They weren't counterpunches.
It felt like that twice this year. Georgia and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It's only two games you gave up 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's only two games where you're really up against it.
I mean, there's two games where you go, okay, what's the answer? Now, when you watch Ohio State's skill set and where they are, did you have an answer? Now, to your point, blitz more, take some more chances. I mean, why not? Okay. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a valid point. You know, I think that there's where are you? Where are you going to be moving forward? And what, you know, Arkansas, okay, what do they do to you? They misdirectioned you, right? Threw some stuff out in the flat, some underneath stuff. Ohio State did a bunch of that stuff. Georgia had the middle of the field against you. And then Ohio State threw it over your head. Now, did they throw it over your head because you were bad technique, or did they throw it over their head because they're playing with a couple guys who are going to be NFL stars, you know, out at the wide receiver position, and you didn't make the quarterback uncomfortable?
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, and Will Howard threw a couple in a bucket, too. So, I mean, it was kind of a combination of all those things.
But stunned about a lot of things we've all covered. Stunned that they got no pressure. No, I mean, like, not even remotely a factor.
And that, Eric, is your point, and I think it's the valid point, is you had two games this year where you didn't do anything to make a quarterback uncomfortable. Okay, Arkansas made a couple plays. You played poorly on offense. Okay, fine, whatever. We'll throw that one out, even though that's, you know, the worst loss of the year. But you knew coming off of the Ole Miss win against Georgia, what do you got to do to Carson Beck? You got to hit him.
No.
Right? I mean, what do you got to do to Will Howard? You got to make him move. You got to make him play fast. You got to make him uncomfortable. Tennessee didn't do that in either one of those games, and the result is they got ripped in the back end. They got the ball thrown all over the place on them.
31 dropbacks, 8 according to the Pro Football Focus. 31 dropbacks, 8 blitzes for the Tennessee defense, and in a game where you lost 42-17, I'd say that percentage needs to be up a little bit higher. If you're winning the football game, maybe you don't need to blitz or send as much pressure from the second and third layers or whatever. But again, when you're down 21-0 in the first quarter, in my opinion, you need to change some things up.
We all talk about, and I know we're going to move on or take a break probably, but everybody talks about this game and, you know, got to do something to get past Ohio State and Georgia. I think there's one minor step before you can get to that point, and that is not having the hiccup against Arkansas. Right, like that's the, you know, you have, like, think about it. Had you beat Arkansas, you're what, at minimum the 7, playing in Indiana at the 10. What is this look like, you know, for yourself if you don't have that hiccup against a lesser team.
Yeah, because we can play the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but if this game's at Neyland against Indiana or Notre Dame or anybody else, I mean.
There you go. You didn't have a home game because you had the hiccup on that night right there.
But here's and I agree with you. I agree with you to 100%, Austin. I think in this day and age, it's harder to avoid the hiccup than it's ever been.
Yeah, probably
because
so.
Because look, who didn't have a hiccup this year?
Oregon, that's it.
Okay. Oregon
and how many tough games are they?
Yeah, what's their schedule look? Indiana, what was their schedule looking like, right? I mean, so I think you look at this league and this league beats up on itself, but you're right, Austin. You got to understand the magnitude of each game and what that means. But I think it's hard to avoid that hiccup. I think the other thing you got to do is how do you play your best in the biggest games that are away from Neyland Stadium? What do you got to do to become better in those moments that you play a better brand of football on the road in the biggest games? I think that's the other step. I agree with you on the Arkansas step and avoid that. What was that type game? What do you do to play your best away from home against the best competition? And we're going to find that out next year. You go to Florida, you know, you go to Alabama. I mean, what are you going to do to be better next year? What's the fix to being a better road team?
Well, let's start with getting past Mississippi State and late September.
Yeah.
I mean,
baby steps, Hubs, baby steps.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I mean, you played pretty well against Oklahoma. You thought that was a really quality win. Oklahoma wasn't very good. Okay. You didn't play well enough a week later coming off an open date against Arkansas. Okay. You played well to start the game against Georgia, but you didn't finish that. And you didn't play well at all. By no means was that your best against Ohio State. Now, was your best going to be good enough to beat the Buckeyes? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like it. But, boy, Tennessee didn't come close to playing their best against Ohio State. They didn't play their best 60 minutes in Athens, Georgia. And they didn't play their best at Arkansas. They've got to be a better road team in general, but certainly against better competition.
So what now for Tennessee football? The season's over. You got Christmas coming up. You've got New Year's coming up. The players are going home, not going to report back until around the 20th of January. We know the transfer portal is open through the 28th. How many – we've already seen, you know, some action in that regard. How many more could? And what's Tennessee going to do in the transfer portal? But, you know, what are the next few days like, even though it's a holiday week for the Tennessee coaching staff? We'll discuss that and a whole lot more as we continue on with this edition of the VolQuest podcast. But first, let's get a word from our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions.
Hey, Sterling, man, come on. We got a roof to replace.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Hey, Sterling, you ready to go to the top?
Man, I can't believe you guys been doing this for 25 years. Oh, baby.
Now, this is what I call a rooftop party.
We have 25 years experience in roofing and exterior renovations, and we're backed by the best.
Are you ready to get your rooftop party started? Give us a call, 865-524-5888.
As always, I want to thank our presenting sponsor of the show. That is Exterior Home Solutions, local and trusted since 1999. For roofing, siding, garage, you can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. That's at 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Hey, I want to tell you guys about Prize Picks. Over at Prize Picks, it's the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you and the numbers. There's no battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. And all you do, it's as simple as this. You pick more or less. 2 to 6, at least 2, no more than 6. That's your player grid. And they have stat projections. And all you're going to do is pick more or less. It is that simple. It can be college football with the college football playoffs. It can be NFL. I know the playoffs for the National Football League are starting here coming up. College football or college basketball. You've got NBA. When baseball season happens, I mean, they got sports all over the place. You can mix and match the sports as well. Again, at least 2, no more than 6, more or less. It is truly that simple, and you can win so much this holiday season over at PricePicks.com. You go to PricePicks.com, put in that promo code VQ, and you're going to be guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Again, PricePicks.com/VQ, use the promo code VQ, and get $50 instantly when you play $5 in lineup. Win big this holiday season with PricePicks, promo code VQ.
Hey, this is Travis Thompson, one of the new owners at North Lake Boat Store in La Follette, Tennessee. Love to have you come up and check out our Christmas sale. We have 50% off on all of our stuff in the Pro Shop. We carry Ranger, StarCraft. You can find us online at NorthLakeBoatStore.com or on Facebook at North Lake Boat Store. Happy holidays.
Okay, so the season is over, but it's still very, very busy despite the holiday this week and coming up next week. Austin Price, what are the next few days looking like, and what's the last couple of days since the game look like for the Tennessee coaching staff?
Well, it's, you know, obviously trying to get some players like a Josh Thompson or the Suggs kid from LSU into the boat, see if they can land those guys, and then it's trying to hold on to your roster. I mean, there's going to be, you know, plenty of guys that contact Tennessee saying, I need more money, I need this, I need that. You know, and you're going to have to make the decision. Do you want to do that or do you not? And, you know, there'll probably be some that, you know, going to the portal, don't even give Tennessee a chance. They were going to stick it out through the playoffs because they were committed to this team. But now that the season's over, you know, they're going to head off to the transfer portal. And so, you know, we already saw Christian Harrison do that. And, you know, this is, you know, anything but a holiday week for those in any football office across the country, especially ones that have had their seasons end.
I've seen a lot of threads and fan speculations that, like, it's going to be just a mass exodus. I don't think anybody's saying that, but do reiterate your point that you've made several times. Like, in this era in college football, I mean, nobody's safe, right? Like, yeah. you just don't know.
Yeah, nobody's safe from your third string punter up to your quarterback. I mean, you just, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, sometimes there's a trickle down effect. One kid leaves and it affects two others. And, you know, I don't think there'll be a mass exodus either. I think there's going to be certainly people leave, you know, but I think that's expected and, you know, across the board. I think you're always going to lose somewhere between 10 and 20 players every year. And then you're going to have to replace them. Now, what's Tennessee's path to doing that? They've signed a fairly big class. You know, how many guys will they take out of the portal? I think they'll end up taking more than they probably expected to take, because I think there's going to be more kids leave that maybe they didn't expect to leave.
Interior offensive line, interior defensive line, we know that's obviously the priority right now. Given who else enters the portal, there's already been a flurry of receivers, Brent. What other position groups do you see Tennessee maybe giving some attention to? And then, of course, it could come down to, okay, does this kid have interest? He's a really good player. Kind of that best available mentality.
Well, I mean, I think you have to do a real evaluation of where you are at the running back position. If Dylan Sampson is gone, I like Peyton Lewis. I'll give Austin credit for that when he was on the Peyton Lewis train early in the summer. I think Peyton Lewis can be a good player. Where do you feel like you are from a durability standpoint with DeShaun Bishop? And listen, Rob, DeShaun Bishop has shown me he can play in this league, but can he stay on the field? You know, he missed a whole year with an ankle injury, and then this year he missed almost half the season with an ankle injury. So what do you feel like you are from a depth standpoint? Is he durable enough? Are you worried about his durability? And you've got to go get a seasoned guy, a guy with some experience who maybe is not an all-world guy that you're, you know, dropping buckets of cash on to get here, but a guy who you can trust and hand the ball to help you, you know, manage games in a rotation, because you're unsure of DeShaun Bishop's durability. And when is Morris going to be ready in the freshman? I think that's an interesting position that they're in at the running back spot right now, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think you have to get one there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have tons of faith in the freshman, but if you don't, I mean, just what you're saying with, you know, Bishop's durability, that's not a knock on him. I mean, not that, you know, it's not a criticism, but it's a fact. I mean, he missed a whole year in what, basically a month, you know, basically November this time around. So in this league, yeah, I mean, I would think that unless you feel great about those freshmen, I would think you want to add one there and wideout. I mean, I think that's a position where you cherry pick the best available every year. I mean, I think Tennessee thought they probably hit last year with Brazel, and that to me, I mean, I'm not trying to hate on the kid, but that's one that I thought he would be an impact guy, just wasn't.
And that leads me to this question, Austin. You know, 2 years ago it was Thornton, last year it was Brazel. In year one for each of those guys didn't turn out the way that they wanted to, obviously where the Tennessee wanted to. Does that change the approach at how you look at wide receivers in the transfer portal?
That's a great question, and a question I do not have the answer to.
Wow.
You know, I don't know. I think that what they're going for is size and speed. Does that change? Maybe are they going for too big a body? I don't know. I think ultimately, Josh Heupel, because of his previous success with Emmanuel Hall at Nebraska and people like that, I think the notion is just go get somebody that can run, but you still got to catch. I mean, Brazel got open two or three times the other night, hit it in the hands and nothing. So, I mean, like they've got to figure some things out at the wide receiver spot. And that starts with holding on to Mike Matthews and, Braylon Staley and keeping those guys here because, in theory, that is the future of the position for Tennessee and then trying to build around it.
Well, and you got to figure out too, can you get a portal guy ready out of the gate, ready to go, ready to be an impact guy? Year one, Cedric Tillman became a guy that they threw a lot of jump balls to, right? And everybody was trying to figure out how to defend this offense. And he was a year one in the system guy that had a really good year. Valus Jones was a year one in the system guy who had a really good year. Outside of those two, it's the second year for most guys before they kind of get going. I think that's part of your self-scout too, right, Austin? It took Jalen Hyde a full year to become a bona fide star in this offense. Now, why is that? I don't know. Dante Thornton was better in year two from a production standpoint this year than he was in year one. Part of that was health, but they had to get him in the right position, right?
Opportunities though, Hubs?
I don't know. I'm not saying that it's not. You're right. Is it Mike Matthews wasn't ready or Mike Matthews just didn't get an opportunity to play?
You think Mike Matthews is not as talented as a Squirrel White? When they had to play a freshman, Squirrel had, 30-something catches as a freshman because they had
a lot
to play.
Of mop-up duty, though, outside of that Orange Bowl, I will say that.
You're talking about Squirrel? Year. They had to play Squirrel. They didn't have anybody. They didn't have to play Mike Matthews. My point being, when they had to play a freshman, they played him. Javonte Payton. First year. They had to play that guy. He was productive.
Yeah, it's a good point.
What's the again kind of a funky week here? But in terms of wanting to get guys on campus, what's the next little bit looking like in terms of any plans for Tennessee?
We're in a dead period right now, July to the first of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. This week is all about in house. You can make some phone calls, but this week is about all right. Look, we're Tennessee was back in the office Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and they were in meetings about roster management, continued meetings about roster management and players were, wanting to have meetings and wanting to talk to collectives and wanting to talk to coaches. And those are continuing. Those happened some Monday and then Austin, those guys are going home for Christmas. The rest of it becomes a lot of verbal communication via the telephone.
That's right. Let's face it. If you're Tennessee and besides holding on to the guys on your own roster, let's say you like somebody in the transfer portal, so much of that goes back down to just bare bones recruiting. Hey, don't do anything until you can come for a visit in January. Don't make a snap decision. Come see us first. You can go and still enroll at blank school if you don't want to go to Tennessee after you visit us. So much of it is working those type of things because right now, unless it's a couple of kids, Tennessee's not had anybody on campus, and so to try to win over a recruit you like in the portal, you're going to have to get them to hold off and, wait to take a visit in January and not make a decision on maybe places they've already seen.
And inadvertently, this cash grab for the January midterm that the university has helps them in recruiting because, they don't start classes until January 24th.
Mm-hmm.
You had kids on visits for 3 weeks.
Yeah, if you can hold them off from going somewhere else that's starting school somewhere, absolutely you can. And so, this week's about, it closes, what, the 28th? You got to get through the next, 4 days, okay? You don't think anything's going to happen Christmas Day, but, the 26th, 27th, 28th, you got to get through those days with where you are in your roster and go from there.
Somebody is absolutely going to commit. Tomorrow on Christmas Day.
Commander going to portal.
I say portal. Somebody goes portal.
Somebody's going to give Tennessee a lump of coal on Christmas Day and go in the portal.
Well, the good news is Tennessee won't be in there. They won't be putting them in. So, the kids can the kids can have their agent drop out to, you know, one of these national guys that their plan is to go in, but they won't officially go in for a few more days, in my opinion.
No.
Well, they got a couple of days to get there. But again, what does it look like, holiday or no holiday? What do you look like the 29th? Okay, how stable are you at that point? I mean, you're gonna know one way or the other. But what does this roster look like on the 29th? Is there another four or five guys that leave? Is there one guy that leaves? Is there nobody that leaves? That's the story for the next 4 days. And then from there, you see where you're at in terms of who you bring in for visits, who you're having conversations with, where are you, you know, with financials and all those types of things about how much money you got to spend and all of that stuff. Because it is officially no longer Monopoly money. I mean, it's real dollars and it's real cents that you're managing at this point in time. That's where we've gotten to.
Well, I think for some, it's still Monopoly money.
Three assistant coaches on the defensive side of the football. Contracts expire here coming up soon. Brent, those coaches, and any thoughts on you know, the direction Josh Heupel's thinking he's going to go in those regards? We know Tim Banks has a contract. It's just he's been putting it off during the season.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Banks has had a contract offer in front of him. I mean, where do things stand, you know, now that becomes real? You know, I don't know that there's a head coaching job in the college ranks out there that would have any interest in him, or he would have any interest in that job. What's the trickle down? What are we? We're less than a week from Black Monday in the NFL. How many changes are there? Not that any assistants are getting a head coaching job, but do one of their friends get a head coaching job? And do they look and say, hey, I don't like the calendar in the college game. I want out of this deal. And I've got an opportunity to go to the NFL. You know, that's kind of the next wave with your staff. And then, you know, everybody's asking, is Josh Heupel going to make changes? Well, Josh Heupel's going to make three decisions for sure. And that's with three coaches and Willie Martinez, Mike Eckler, and Tim Banks, whose contracts expire on January the 31st. So, you know, he has at least three decisions to make staff-wise right now. And we'll see what they elect to do with new contracts or no new contracts for those guys. And then what else pops up along the way.
But is it a decision for Banks, though, considering he has a contract on his desk?
Well, it's his decision. It's not Josh's decision. It's his decision to sign it.
Yeah.
You know, and go from there. And what does that offer look like and that type of thing. So, I mean, I think the decision has been made there that they want Tim Banks back. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think you walked out of as disappointing as Saturday night was. I don't think anybody walked out of there going, okay, we're going to tear up that offer sheet and not present that and pull the offer off the table. I don't have that vibe from anybody at all. So, but we'll, you know, we'll see what happens with the other two and we'll see what other movement there is, if there's any. I mean, we know Josh Heupel's not a movement guy on his staff. That's not been his MO as a head coach. But again, I mean, he's, you know, this is one of those deals where you're going to spend some time self-scouting everything in your program, as you should. That's not because it's Armageddon. It's what you should do every year when you look at your program.
And then you look at traditional recruiting, as we got a couple minutes left here on the show. Obviously, right now it's all about roster intact, roster management, transfer portal. Those junior days going to be coming up here in the early part of the semester. 2026 recruiting is about to hit its full steam. And there were some guys on campus here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee wants to get a bunch of high-end 26s here. I think at their junior days, I think the weekend of the national championship game. You know, and since Tennessee's not going to be in the national championship game, it's full go for that. So, you know, they'll try to get Tristan Keys, and they'll try to get a bunch of those players in over here, Rodney Dunham, for that 2026 junior day, mid-January. And then after that, it'll probably be March before we see anything like that.
With Christmas coming up tomorrow, though, I do want to ask you guys if you could give if Tennessee Athletics could give you one Christmas gift for the 2025 year, I guess a year from now, what would that gift be?
An unobstructed view of the basketball court from my media seat.
That's fair. Anything else?
What AP?
Shots fired.
It's not anybody's favorite. I'd love to see Rick Barnes get to a Final Four. I would love to see this program reach a Final Four. I think that would be fun to have a March run. You know, it's so it's so entertaining to watch Tennessee fans fall in love with a team, you know, and get all in, right? I mean, how many people are making their way for an Elite Eight game and doing whatever they can to get into that game?
But Hubbard, they're like a 15-year-old girl. They fall out of love in a hurry.
They do, but leading up to it, that puppy love.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing. I mean, it swings both ways.
Countdown to baseball season. It was all over the place Saturday night.
Yeah, well, and there'll be the gnashing of the teeth at some point in the baseball season about how Tony Vitello is the most overpaid coach in college baseball.
He's lost his edge.
He got his bag. He doesn't care. 14th pitcher drops that
Tuesday nighter to Bellarmine.
He loses that first Friday night opener in conference play.
Yeah, so that's going to happen. For me selfishly, I hope to be back around doing some radio work on game days in the 25 season. So we'll see what that looks like as well.
Selfishly for me, I mean, I just covered a national championship and I was in Omaha for 2 weeks. So, I mean, what more could you ask? Right. And I covered a college football playoff game. I wanted to go to the Rose Bowl. Don't get me wrong, but it's been pretty good to me. So, I mean, I was asked this question on another show and I just said, I mean, I would love to see Tennessee basketball go to, Final Four. I think that'd be pretty cool, but it's already been a pretty good year at Tennessee Athletics for sure.
Well, you didn't ask what we were celebrating in 24. You asked what the wish list was in 25.
Well, I'm saying to do that again. It's repeat true. It, I guess.
Good job. I'm going to point out that Eric switched us on.
I'm saying I've already been hashtag blessed.
I mean, 24 was awesome. Okay. Yeah. As disappointing as Saturday night was, the whole year of 24 is one that everybody is going to remember. Hey, you got a national championship in baseball. You got an elite eight run in basketball. And Rob, you had a player who was a generational type player for one season at Tennessee. I mean,
yeah, Christian Moore was awesome.
I mean,
and you played in the college football playoff. I mean, right. The first ever 12-team playoff.
And you beat Alabama and you beat Florida, both at home. I mean, like there are a lot of good things that happen. And, you know, On Christmas, everyone should take. I mean, I'm writing a review piece, but I mean, and I've left out a bunch of stuff in that review piece. But the where were you when it happened moments in 24? There's a lot of those. There's more of those than we've seen in any given year in a long, long time in Tennessee athletics. And so appreciate it. Now, you got a lot of questions moving forward as all this stuff changes. Can you be in everything school and all that's a topic for a different day. In 24, they were the everything school that gave you a ton of highlights to keep in your memory bank for a long, long time.
And for me, I'll just simply say, win at Alabama or at Florida next year. You've got to do something different than you've been doing. If you can find a way to win either one of those games, you can be back in the conversation for the CFP in 2025.
Win at Florida. Just win at Florida. Hadn't been done.
Don't get me started on that
one. 3
Right, Rob Lewis? Don't get me started on that trip.
Some of the saddest rides of my life have been with AP back to Orlando after that game.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's the worst. Here's what I know. Like, all the snap. I mean, I've talked to national guys. I've listened to fans. All the, like, no chance they make it next year. No, I'm like 364 days away. What do you mean there's no chance? Like, who had Indiana going? You don't know how the season's going to play out. What kind of jump does Mike Matthews make in year two if he's back? What kind of jump does Nico make as a starter for year two? I mean, you don't know. They may be worse. They may be better. No one knows. That's the great unknown.
I'm penciling in the playoffs.
Sports. Like, these people trying to project out, like, nobody had Tennessee making the playoff, you know, after they lost to Georgia, much less after they lost to Arkansas. And I mean, like, just don't get me started on the people that have already just snapped judgment the 2025 season before it even gets to spring practice.
It's comical.
But that's what, I mean, that's the discussion point. That's also why we do the playoff rankings 8 weeks before you decide the playoff teams, right? I mean, it's for the conversation and keep the conversation going because people want to talk football all year long. But yeah, I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, right. I mean, Missouri was supposed to be a playoff team, you know,
Hey, I mean, they were still on the hunt late in the season, according to Eli Drinkwitz.
Talk to me about LSU or USC.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's one of those. I mean, you never know. You don't have any idea what's going to happen. The question is, what is this team? What is this staff? What do they take from Saturday night? Are they, well, we got there, we'll see where it goes. Or are they highly motivated? I mean, do they come away with like, all right, we know we got to be at a different level. I've heard Fred White tell this story, and I'm not comparing 98 to anything forthcoming. But
well, they lost 42-17, Hubs. They lost 42-17.
I understand. But Fred White will tell you that they came out of there and said, you know what? We're not where we're supposed to be. There's another level we have to get to. And they committed to getting to that level. Does this team have that kind of leadership? You know, what where are they in terms of their mentality this offseason? Where's the head coach in terms of making adjustments and tweaks and all those types of things? That's why you have no idea what August of 25 is going to bring. No clue.
Maybe the same group. I can tell you this. If they stand pat on the coaching staff and stand pat on the roster, and that means not adding very little. I don't mean there's going to be one or two they add. I mean, very little movement in the portal. It's going to make for a long off season because some of these fans, donors, and everybody else, they just want to see some type of proactive, okay, we got to make some changes. Here's how we do it. Standing pat, it's a bold play, Cotton. It's a bold play.
Tennessee football season comes to an end in the first round of the college football playoff. Portal season has already been underway, but it's going to start ramping up now. Basketball season, number one Tennessee Volunteers. All that and more, recruiting, General's Quarters, and at VolQuest.com. We got you covered every single step of the way. I appreciate you guys for joining us here. Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll have a no mailbag podcast later in the week due to the holidays, so we'll be back next week and get your questions answered on the mailbag edition next week. But I do appreciate you guys for joining us. Merry Christmas, and big thanks to Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of the show, local and trusted since 1999. That phone number again is 865-524-5888, online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. For Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, I'm Eric Kane. Thanks for joining us here on the VolQuest podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest podcast every week here on VolQuest.